Welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast, where it's all about solving the challenges of living with allergies so you can be more confident and stay allergy safe. Here's your host. She plays rock, paper, scissors with her boyfriend to decide who makes the coffee. Her boyfriend, who's recording this, likes to let her win. Nina Modak.
Hello and welcome to the Allergy Safe podcast. Today I have the wonderful Emma from the Free From Farmhouse. Now Emma is a mum, a blogger, she is a journalist. She's written for numerous newspapers like The Guardian, The Times, The Independent. She's written for magazines like Women's World, All About You, Mother and Baby. And she's recently had some recipes posted in the Metro.
Yes, so I never expected that.
So welcome, Emma.
Hi.
So would you like to add anything to that introduction?
No, that's pretty much me. I've got two young kids, a three-year-old and a one-year-old, who take up most of my time at the moment. But yeah, the writing and blogging is out there as well.
Great. So first we're going to talk about, how did you get into the world of allergies?
Yeah, really with my son before that, we were on the edge of it. So we've got allergies in my family, things like that, but we weren't personally affected. And then when my son was, well, really from when he was born, he had terrible eczema. He was a really just grumpy, sad baby, didn't sleep, didn't want to be put down. And by the time he hit about 10 weeks old, he had terrible, terrible eczema. And that's when we kind of knew something was wrong, but it took a long time for anybody to actually give us a proper diagnosis. And when we started weaning him, he had a very bad reaction to hummus. I gave him some hummus and that was kind of the first obvious sign. That's what it was. Then we finally got him tested and it's been from there.
Wow. And how have you dealt with having a child who's what allergies does your son have?
He has in good news, he's almost outgrowing his milk allergy, so he did have very severe milk allergy, and now he's eating cow's milk yogurt absolutely fine, and we're on the edge of trying him on actual cow's milk, so that's very exciting. But he's still allergic to egg, peanuts, tree nuts, sesame, cod and garlic, which are the random ones.
Well, you can be allergic to anything. And then, so your son is not the only one with allergies in your family?
No, sadly my daughter's got them too. We're hoping she might skip it, but it's not looking that way. So she had similar symptoms when I was breastfeeding her, but obviously this time we picked them up a lot quicker. I started cutting things out and we kind of knew what to look for. So she's now been tested. She's allergic to milk, egg and sesame. But thankfully, not nuts. She was tested for peanuts and we've given her peanut butter. Fine. So that's very exciting. And now we're 90% certain. She's been having quite a few reactions and we think it's chili, unfortunately. But we're getting her tested next month to confirm it.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All the tests. What's it like having two children with allergies?
Stressful. It's just a big, it's a daily thing you have to think about. You know, it kind of underlies everything you do. Obviously we carry on and we do the normal things, you know, they go to childcare, we go to play dates, we go out to people's houses, we go out to eat, we do all those things, but everything has to have that extra level of research or planning, or making sure that they're going to be safe in everything you're doing. So, there's a lot of anxiety that goes alongside it as well, I think.
I bet. And can you talk me through a little bit about how you go about research, how you go about planning for these normal everyday outings like play dates and going out to dinner or going on holiday?
Things like play dates, going out with friends, things like that. I've been very lucky. My friends have been, I've got a group of friends we met through NCT classes with James who have been with me through the whole journey, and they've been great at always making sure James is included, making sure, you know, that he's got safe things. But we'll always go with backup. So I'll always, you know, I'll always take food with me. Mm-hmm. I'll find out what's going on and make sure I have the equivalent, or I'll bake the cake so that everybody's got safe cakes or things like that. On bigger things like going out to eat or going on holiday, just a lot of research. So, you know, going out to eat, I'll always check online to see if they have an online menu, mm-hmm. see if they have an allergy menu. Mm-hmm. There's a few chain ones that we trust that we then just go to other places. If it was someone new, I'd usually call up and speak to them, get an idea of how receptive they are or what they might be able to offer, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And I'd still always take a backup or take some of our own food anyway. Holiday, we just came back from holiday last week actually. We went to Mallorca, which was beautiful. And always self-catering at the moment. I haven't taken the plunge of going anywhere and trusting someone to cater for them. They're always self-catering, making sure we've got enough snacks and the basics to take with us, their milk, that thing. Things like this time checking there was a hospital because it was Menorca and I wasn't entirely sure, and I'd already ruled out a few Greek islands I wanted to go to because they didn't have hospitals. So things like that before you wouldn't really have thought about, which become kind of part of the planning process now.
That's great, because I know there are a lot of new parents whose children are developing allergies along with the top 14, like your children, some of the what we may consider odd ones, like the chili, the garlic. How do you go about educating people?
It's tricky. It really is tricky. I mean, I think most people understand nut allergies, or most people have known someone with one, or they've got a nut-free school or things like that. The difficulty for us is making people understand that the others can be just as just as dangerous. You can have just reactions. I think a lot of people think, oh, well, nuts, you know, you could die, but other ones, oh no, you know, you might just get a bit itchy. So that's been tricky. I think James had an anaphylactic reaction to milk when he was 15 months. And in some ways that was kind of a good wake-up call in terms of the reality of it, or people understanding that, oh, wait a minute, that can actually happen. Like, I don't think I really understood completely before we were in. The things with the weirder ones, that's even more difficult because people look at you just kind of, once you start reeling off the list, people kind of start glazing over anyway. But also with the stranger ones, I think people maybe just think they're fussy, or, you know, it's the fact that you don't like it. And I think there's an issue there sometimes with people saying they have an allergy when they just don't like something. And so, the rarer ones are a bit more tricky, really.
And how do you... like when you come up against someone who does glaze over or does think you're just being a fussy parent, what do you do?
I don't try to push too far. I just say it as it is, really. You know, that he's had the reaction, we have the EpiPens. You can't judge which way an allergy's going to go. Any of them can be just as serious. We try really just to make people more allergy aware, to say, you know what, it's simple things you can do to keep people safe. You know, not sharing food, washing your hands, you know, not giving food to children without asking first. Simple things like that that we've got James aware of, and got James to say, you know, if somebody offers him food, I've got allergies, I need to ask my mum.
The same kind
of thing. We've just started kind of trying to get him more aware of it. But it's the same with other people, really. It's just that awareness. You know, people are never going to be as knowledgeable or care about it as much when they're not personally involved in it, because you're just not, people aren't. But having that awareness that people at least understand, I think is really important.
And how do you feel about the fact that if people aren't directly affected by it, that they just don't care? How do you deal with that?
I think, to be honest, that's just human nature. I think everybody's like that, unless you have somebody in your family or that you're close to or that you're personally affected by. There's lots of things that probably I don't really understand what other people are going through or how other people are dealing with it. So I don't think you can take it too personally, but also think it's important that it's not a hidden thing, and that, you know, as well as the safety thing, there's also the inclusion side of things,
yeah,
which I think is really important. And I think other parents need to be aware of it. And as I say, mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's a big scary thing. And if you don't understand it at all, I think it can be even scarier. And mm-hmm. the natural thing is to want to just not include that child or not yeah. have any food or that kind of thing. So I think pushing the message that actually just very simple steps can yeah. make a big difference for keeping the kids safe.
Yeah. And how have you, because obviously your kids are still quite young.
Yeah.
How have you started to educate your children about their allergies?
We talk about it. You know, it's yeah. something that always comes up. So, you know, if James says, why can't I have that? Or, you know, mm-hmm. don't try to hide it. We explain. We also made the decision, which I know some other parents do differently, but we don't keep all allergens out of the house. So we yeah. don't have like loose nuts or loose sesame seeds, but we do still eat dairy in the house. Mm-hmm. We do still eat things with egg in, because yeah. we decided he's going to have to face that at some point.
Yeah.
He's going to go out in the world and other people are going to be eating things that he can't have. So for yeah. us, that's been quite a good way to bring it up. When he says, why can't I have daddy's cheese? We have that conversation.
Yeah.
And as I say, now we've started saying to him, you know, if somebody offers you food, you can't take it without asking, you know, mm-hmm. you don't know what's in it. And we've also used Amalia as well now, because she's got her allergies. We say, you yeah. know, you've got to help her, you've got to look out for her. And mm-hmm. because he's now outgrowing his milk allergy, she's still got a milk allergy. That's yeah. been another talking point to say, okay, you can have this, but you need to make sure you wash your hands and wipe your face, and you need to be mm-hmm. careful around Amalia. So most of it starts at home, you know, yeah. just with having those conversations, I think.
Well, that's great. I mean, this sounds very similar to my childhood, actually, because mm-hmm. I have anaphylaxis to tree nuts and peanuts. And mm-hmm. my mum did not get rid of nuts in the house, because yeah. she went on the principle of Sleeping Beauty. That's her way of, if Sleeping Beauty had known what a spinning wheel was, if her dad hadn't taken them out of the kingdom, she probably would have not pricked her finger and, you know, oh, fallen asleep. But then obviously we wouldn't have the story, she says, but the principle yeah. is there, and she took that as
yeah.
Her way of dealing with it. And yeah, my mum ate peanut butter all throughout and in her pregnancy, mm-hmm. so because it wasn't known back when she was pregnant with me, which was quite a while ago.
I think they've changed it again now anyway. Now they say yeah. eat, so I don't think anybody knows really.
No, probably not. So I know you mentioned before that your son had big eczema flare-ups.
Yes.
Does your daughter have that as well, or is it just your son who's got eczema?
Both of them now, their skin's really good. Lucky for us, it seems to have been completely food related. So okay. they both had, I mean, James had really, really bad eczema. Amalia's was going that way, but once we mm-hmm. started cutting out the foods and figuring out what it was,
yeah,
now you really wouldn't know. They have the odd little flare up, but nothing serious.
Yeah. Well, that's really good. That's quite yeah. encouraging for some other parents. So parents, if your kid's got eczema, try out the foods and take it yeah. out. And then what did you do? Did you use any creams or emollients or anything to help, or?
Oh gosh, we used everything. we kept being given creams from the GP initially, mm-hmm. and I kept going back over and over again saying, it's not working, you know, this isn't yeah. helping, it's not strong enough, it's not doing mm-hmm. anything. We eventually got sent to A&E with him because his skin was so bad. I had to fight with seeing different GPs until we finally got one to pay attention. He was like, right, you need to go to hospital. And once we got there and saw the dermatologist, they put him on quite strong steroids,
right.
Which I wasn't particularly happy about, but it worked. It calmed it yeah. down. But then we found they kept trying to get us to, you know, slowly come off them. But every time we tried to come off them, mm-hmm. it would just go really bad again. And it wasn't until we eliminated the foods mm-hmm. that we got to the root of the problem,
yeah,
and the eczema then got better.
So I want to go back to getting diagnosed, because it sounds like you did not have an easy time getting your children diagnosed.
No, and sadly I've heard our story so many times from other parents,
yeah, you know,
still hear it. So many parents going through exactly the same thing, where mm-hmm. you know, he was a fussy baby, you know, or that's what they call it. You know, he cried, he didn't sleep, he was obviously in pain, but just feeling that you're not getting listened to, a lot of, oh, you're a first time parent, well, babies do cry, that kind of message or attitude. I kept taking him to the GP, and they kept saying, oh yeah, just put this cream on him, and not really listen. I literally had to, I'd heard there was another good GP in town who mm-hmm. was good at dealing with kids who I wanted to see, but he was at a different practice. So I literally had to go and fight my way into the new GP set, scream and shout in reception until somebody let me see him. So I had to make a scene, which is awful because it shouldn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't have to be that way. And then we got sent to Adam Brooks, and they got his eczema under control. But still at that point, the only person that had ever mentioned it could be an allergy was the health visitor.
Right.
Who suggested it might be a milk allergy. But very soon after that, we started getting seen for his eczema, and I asked the consultants, do you think it could be an allergy that's causing this? Mm-hmm. And the dermatology consultant said, no, it couldn't be going through your milk strongly enough to cause this kind of reaction.
Oh, wow.
But unfortunately, I listened to them. And so it wasn't until he started having kind of direct reaction through weaning that I was like, okay, yeah, it's got to be this. Mm-hmm. And we eventually managed to get referred to Adam Brooks Allergy Clinic when he was about 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And from there on, you know, we had the support we needed.
Wow. And what was it like for you and your husband going through this process? How did you cope with this?
Oh, I think partly as a first child, so you don't know what to expect mm-hmm. already. You know, there's going to be sleepless nights, you know, they're going to cry. But it was extreme, and you could see it compared to the other babies, that he was the one that was always unsettled or wouldn't sleep properly. Yeah. You know, we'd spend ages trying to rock him to sleep, trying to hold him, mm-hmm. trying to settle him. It's just exhausting.
Yeah.
Exhausting, and you just feel so helpless because you know there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Don't really know what to do about it or how mm-hmm. to fix it, and you just want to help them.
Yeah. Like, did you manage to take any rests or breaks for yourself to sort of recharge during this time, or did you just keep going?
I think you just keep going. I mean, you know, my parents are great, we've got support in that way, so you try to mm-hmm. take a bit of time out, but
yeah,
it's difficult, especially when you're breastfeeding them, you know. Yeah. You're kind of there with them all the time. So in the early days, no, not really.
And then once you got, did you get to have a rest at any point, or are you still keeping going?
No, I mean, now we we're much more under control. we were lucky, we found a childminder that we trusted mm-hmm. when James was about a year. And we managed to work closely with her, so he was able to go there a couple of days a week. And
yeah.
I could go back to work a bit, and things became a little bit more
mm-hmm.
calm and under control a little bit. Obviously, then you throw the second baby in for the mix, and all goes haywire again. But no, now we're in a nice routine now.
Oh, that's good.
They still don't sleep well. They still get up really early, but I think that's just them. I don't think that's actually their allergies. The awkward children.
Yes, I did see a Facebook post which was, any bedtime, it's still 5 a.m. wake up.
Yep, it is.
Poor mum and dad. So can you talk me through the processes? So you said you've got a childminder who's really receptive.
Yeah.
How did you go about finding one? How did you go about training her, educating her?
First time round, I saw like a million childminders and laughed at me because I went to see a lot. Because you have to find somebody that you trust generally to look after your child, even more so when it's an allergy thing. And she was great. She already had, you know, some basic first aid training, but she had the EpiPen training mm-hmm. and we put a care plan in place. And she was always very good. She made their food, but was always very good with it and very careful. I think just A, finding you someone you trust, B, being able to work together
mm-hmm.
and have that two-way, you know, communication. It was after he started there that he then had his anaphylactic reaction, which, you know, could throw some people off, but she mm-hmm. was, you know, very receptive to, okay, how do we deal with this? And
mm-hmm.
And really, we had a few minor slip-ups there, but it was then just about saying, okay, well, what do we do to stop this happening again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we work with it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she's always been really good. Unfortunately, she stopped working last year, which threw us all off again. We were just ready to send Amalia there as well, and then she stopped, so we had to start again. But we've been lucky again. James is now at a nursery, who have been great, and Amalia's at Childminder. And I feel we've been quite lucky. I think it's all about that relationship you can build with them.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So have you gone through a similar process with the nursery?
Yes, the nursery were actually already very aware.
That's good.
It's a small one. It's a Montessori one, and they already had a child there with a nat allergy, serious nat allergy.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd actually made the nursery nut-free because of that. But because of Jay's other allergies, they've been very good about, clearing up after things, making sure he's included in everything. This summer he's been going to holiday club there, and they do baking every day.
Wow.
Club. But they've asked me for recipes. They've made sure everything they do is safe for him. Even when they decided they wanted to get ice cream in because it was hot, they said, what ice cream can we get that everybody can have? So they've been really, really inclusive and really, really careful with him, which has been great.
That's fab. And it sounds like involving you has been one of the things that's helped.
Yes. I mean, they'll say, we just want to check this again. Like, and I'm like, I'd much rather you checked with me over and over again.
Yeah.
Then didn't. It's great that you're thinking about it, and it's great that you're looking at labels and asking questions. You know, that's what you want from them.
Oh, that's great. So just we wrap up in a minute, but I've got one question for you, which is, what advice would you give to parents who are new to the world of allergies?
I think firstly, trust your instinct. You know your children, even if they're babies and you're new to parenting, you know when there's something wrong. And keep pushing. It can feel, it shouldn't have to be that way, but it can feel like you're hitting a brick wall trying to get the help you need. But there is the help there. Keep pushing. Keep a diary of your symptoms. Keep going until you get the help you need. Look outside that as well. There's lots of great support out there. Allergy UK are brilliant. They've got a helpline you can call. They've got lots of information on their website.
Mm-hmm.
There's various forums on Facebook where you can talk to lots of other allergy parents who can give you help and advice. And really, it's much easier said than done, but try and sit down and take a deep breath. It is manageable.
Mm-hmm.
When you first get a diagnosis, it's very scary. It's very overwhelming. You wonder how on earth you're going to cope or keep your child safe. And it's not easy. It's not straightforward, but it is perfectly doable.
Yes.
You can do it. You can keep them safe, and you can carry on and lead a relatively normal life with it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I completely agree. As a grown-up allergy child, definitely. So any parents out there listening, you can definitely do it. So you also run a blog, which is the Free From Farmhouse. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Just tell people what you do, where they can find you. They want
to. Sure. Yeah, I run a blog called freefromfarmhouse.co.uk. And I set it up after James had his anaphylactic reaction, really as a way just to reach out, to have somewhere to share my thoughts and experiences. And it's grown from there. I feature lots of recipes, free from recipes, lots of advice and tips about how to manage allergies, and then just the fun things as well. So days out, holidays, all the things that you can still do, and can still enjoy as a family despite having the allergies. So I'm also on Twitter at Free From Farm, and on Facebook the same. Come over and say hi.
And all of these details will be on the show notes for anyone listening. So that's we've got to about 25 minutes now. Thank you so much. it went really quick. Yeah, this was great. I think the people listening are going to have so much to take away from this interview. I think it's great. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. It's a pleasure.
You have been listening to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast by Nina Modak. If you want to help other people with allergies discover this podcast, then please rate it in iTunes. It only takes a few seconds. Your rating could make the crucial difference in letting a fellow allergy sufferer find out that they're not alone and help is available. Thank you.